keep the door shut?
Yeah, there's not much going on, so okay. If it starts to get a little noisier. Okay, Revelation 4. Brenda, you want to pray?
Yes, I do. Father, we just so thankful for your faithfulness, Lord. Everything that comes our way, Lord, has to come by you first. You approve it, it comes to us. And Father, we look for you in the midst of everything that touches our lives, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that you just speak in this service, that you, Father, give the words to reach into us, Father, give us ears to hear that you're speaking. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet together, to fellowship with one another, and have you in our very midst. Thank you, God, and glorify yourself. For we ask in all Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. 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 Revelation 4:1. I'm going to read it out of the mirror. I'm going to go three verses, okay? So you can either just listen up or you can follow along with your translation. So, but just hear what the Spirit is saying, because this is really an interesting, I don't, very rarely do I prepare for a Sunday school class where I don't learn something. I can't even tell you one time where I prepared for a Sunday school class and didn't get something.
Yeah.
You know, just because God is like peeling back an onion, you know, there's so many layers, so much that you can gain and glean from him. So we're going to gain and glean from him today. So, okay, we're going to read the first three verses, and then we could go beyond that, but I just kind of want to, you know, keep it to the first three verses for now, and then we're going to go back and kind of break it down. All right, so Revelation 4:1 says, talking about our co-seatedness. Of course, I like that. Our co-seatedness. I want you to see something. That word behold, you know, he wants us to see this. And then he goes, oh, wow. What I see takes my breath away. So this is powerful. I mean, you know, John was blown away what he saw here. A wide open door in the heavenly realm. The first thing I heard was this voice addressing me. It was distinct and clear, like the sound of a trumpet. It captured my attention, inviting me to enter. Come up here and I will show you how everything coincides with what you have already seen. I thought that was interesting. What you've already seen? Wow. Our co-seatedness and our enjoying feasting together with him. That's what, this word coinciding with this refers to. And everyone's personal triumph will be celebrated together with me, by being jointly seated together in my kingship. It's a door of opportunity. It's a door of the heart. A dimension of limitless possibilities open right in front of my eyes. The perfect tense, this is really interesting. The perfect tense denotes an action which is completed in the past. So many people want to put the book of Revelation in the future. Okay, that's just not the case. They think it's the book of the end times and how the world's going to come to an end. That's just not the case. I'm sorry, it's just not. And it's all, like, here's a good example. A perfect tense denotes an action which is completed in the past, but the effects of which are regarded as continuing into the present. Got that? It pictures the action expressed by the verb as being in progress. You know, I like looking at our walk with the Lord not as a process, but as progress. Because we are progressing. We're getting closer and better and whatever. Not, oh, the process. When you think of process, you think of suffering. You think of, oh, I'm being processed, you know, poor me. No, you're being progressed. You're progressing into that perfection that he is, the good work that he's begun in you, he's progressing it to perfection.
I see this, brother.
Huh?
I see this, brother. I see this processing too. Both of them together, and I don't see all of it as being pain and suffering. And
well, usually when something goes through a process, you know, it's
a changing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, when I worked in a machine shop, we used to get blueprints, and they would have a process sheet in the blueprints, which would be a step-by-step thing that you had to do to make the complete part or whatever you were going to machine, you know, and that was called a process sheet, you know, and like what you're saying, Brenda, is true. Processing sometimes it's the necessary thing to get you to the point, the end point, whatever the end point be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a step by step, and it's not always a negative thing. It's going to be a positive thing also, you know. But you know, it's
no, that's all right. I'm looking up the definition of process.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, when you hear people preaching a lot of times, mm-hmm. you hear them talking about the process, we're being processed. Well, mm-hmm. yes, that's true, but we're also progressing, and it's just putting a positive spin on what some people perceive as negative, which I'm not saying that the process is a negative word. Yeah, it's basically a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. I mean, it's semantics. They're both the same word, you know. I mean, it's progressing to the end or processing to the end. It's the bottom line is we get to the end.
The one poem that the Lord gave me one time about the potter, about, you know, basically about Jeremiah going down to the potter's house, kind of the name of that poem was The Processing of the Lord, and it went, the processing of the Lord continues each day as he's working mud in the clay, mm-hmm. the clay he's forming with his right hand to make it a vessel fit into his plan, but after he's placed it upon his wheel, he's twisted and turned and spun with a zeal, the beauty of the vessel is apparent to see, if you fill it with water it no longer will be, for the water will cause it to sag and to fall. For the strength of the vessel is not there after all, but the master must lift it with both of his hands to process it farther, that it might meet his demands, and into the fiery furnace it must go to be tested and tried. His will, he will show, was to strengthen the vessel and cause it to be a vessel of honor and dignity, for the value of the vessel is not the vessel at all, but what is contained by the strength of its walls. And every step there was a processing that took place, you know, like the first you dig out the mud or the clay, then you begin to process it. You add water to it, you do whatever you got to do to get it pliable where it'll move, and you know, then you put it on that wheel and you spin it. And sometimes we feel like we're on that wheel and we're being spun and we're thinking, oh my God, what's happening, you know? Because you ever take a little kid and spin them around in a circle a bunch of times, see what happens?
They're
totally just in, and us too. You're totally disoriented. You're going to fall in any direction. You try to go that way and you end up going over this way because you stumble around. But you know, the thing when we have to realize is that when God does some processing in us, it's always purposeful.
Yeah.
It's always going to
be meaningful.
Yeah, it's going to,
and
it's toward an end.
And it is progression.
It's going toward an end, yeah.
It seems like to me that God has seen what he wants to create before he even starts the process.
Absolutely.
Because there's always a final result.
Absolutely. A potter knows what he's going to make before he ever makes the pot.
But as you say, when you're in the machine shop,
yeah,
you know, there's a blueprint, yeah, but you look at it close enough, you see the result.
Well, you and me, because we worked in a machine shop, we can look at a blueprint and visualize the finished project.
Yeah.
Somebody else would look at it, and it just looks like some lines drawn on a piece of paper, you know. Because you know what it takes to get it there and what it's going to actually look like when you're done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a dimensional drawing, you know. I mean, dimensional in the sense that it's just flat on the paper and there's dimensions written there, but it doesn't have any depth or anything to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, in the right hands, you turn it into a lot of depth and a lot of things, you know.
That would be awesome.
Okay, verse 2. So here I am, immersed in this unrestricted space of spirit ecstasy.
Mm.
Wow. As the vision opens, I immediately notice the throne and one seated upon it. Having accomplished purification for sins, he sat down.
Mm.
His throne is proof of mankind's redeemed innocence. Verse 3, the one seated upon the throne appeared to reflect multi-earthly color patterns like that of a jasper stone and the blood-red color of sardon, and the entire throne wrapped in a rainbow radiance of emerald greens. Okay, that's that. That's the Mirror Bible. Revelation 1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Okay, Colossians 4:3 says, withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. There's so many doors referred to in the Bible, and I just picked a couple here, but this was a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul was a bond servant of Christ. So are we. But this one is the same word, this word open. Behold, a door was opened in heaven. God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ. And that's what everybody's hungering for right now. I mean, they don't understand, and I'm not saying we understand it, but we definitely can speak the mysteries of Christ from all that he's poured into us over the years and whatever. You know, I wasn't looking for it, but I have a group on Thursday that for lunch, a group of businessmen that all of a sudden, next thing I know, they're from all walks of life, and they got millions of questions, you know, and you know, all you hear about is salvation, 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 and you know, I'm trying to explain to them, yeah, that's good, that's really good. I mean, it's really, really good.
That's the beginning and a foundation.
Yes, yes, yeah. There's so, so, so much more.
Puts you in a place of dependence, doesn't it? So that God can speak through you and minister to them, you know, really, and where you are in Him.
And you know, there's the doors talked about in Revelation 3, 7, 8, and 20. That door, of course, we've said many times, is Jesus. I mean, come up here, get yourself out of the earthly realm, get yourself out of the fleshly realm, and come up here into the heavenly realm, because really the heavenly realm is the real realm,
yeah.
Is the eternal realm. The rest of it's going to be passing away. So the opening of doors, we even sing that song that he opens doors we cannot see. Sometimes the door doesn't get open until the last minute. You're sitting there wondering what you're going to do, and all of a sudden that door opens. You go, oh, okay, I know exactly what I'm going to do now. It's all very clear at this point. Other times you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting for that door to open. Sometimes it's a door that has to close before another one can open. So, I mean, there's so many variations of this door kind of analogy that it's just, you know, maybe you all have some thoughts or ideas on doors and you know, where you have seen the door open, where you were either praying, or maybe you weren't even praying, maybe you weren't even asking for a door to open and it opened. That's kind of neat too, where you're just going about your business and all of a sudden the door opens and it's like, wow, thank you, Lord, you know?
Well, you know, I've had the Lord open a lot of doors for me over the years, you know,
yeah,
in understanding and different things like that. And but also have had times where he's taught me that if he doesn't open a door, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we used to get down to City Gospel Mission, excuse me, I always wait until the Lord gives me something before I don't just jump out and try to work a lot of things out. You know, I wait until God, I feel inspired to go in a direction, and then I go that way, and then God almost always meets me there. And, you know, I was supposed to speak at the City Gospel Mission, and I kept waiting on the Lord, and it got time to go, you know, to leave to go down there, and he hadn't given me anything. Well, I mean, I'd been a Christian even back then long enough to where I could get up and say some stuff, but I don't want to get up and say some stuff. Mm-hmm. Unless it's something God's telling me to say. I don't want to say it anyway. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what happened was, is that I started getting a little uncomfortable. So I went over to one of the drawers where I had a whole bunch of notes for a lot of different things. And I pulled out some notes and stuck them in my Bible. And I thought, you know, because, I mean, you know, I was still a fairly young Christian at that point. And so we get down there, we go in the back room, Carl Marcotte comes back and we talk, you know, and then he goes back out in the front, and we always would go back there and pray before we go out. And then we prayed, and there was a tremendous anointing in the room and everything, and it was really strong, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're going to give me something when we get out there, you know. And a few minutes later, Carl Marcotte comes back, he was the director of the mission, he comes back and he says, this has never happened before. He says, there's nobody out there. And I smiled. And instead of feeling dejected, I smiled because I said, well, Lord, you knew there wasn't going to be anybody here. That's why you didn't give me anything. That's why you didn't give me anything. You were teaching me, if I don't give it to you, you know.
That's okay.
It's okay. You know, and I actually kind of laughed and I smiled. And, you know, and I thought, well, okay, Lord. But he taught me a big lesson there. When you wait upon the Lord, you wait until the door is open, whatever door that is. And I also had the Lord one time. I felt like I was supposed to stay home from church one Sunday night. And this was years ago. And up until that point, I mean, I pretty much understood sonship and different things, you know. But I'm not sure if I was able to explain things very well back then, you know. And I stayed home that night, and I was laying in on the bed, and I was just praising the Lord. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, son, I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before. And it ended up being the simplicity in Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. because I went back and prayed a couple times. But then also, he said, I'm loosing your tongue. And when he said that to me, all of a sudden I started getting the ability to be able to explain things on a real simple level. And a lot of times that's the one thing people will usually tell me. They'll say, Oscar, when you say something, I understand what you're saying. You know, it's very simple. But if you make it too complicated, it goes right past people. They don't catch it, you know. So, you know, out there in the world today, that's what we have to ask the Lord. Lord, let us break this thing down on such a simple level that people can understand it. Put it on a level where, you know, it's understandable, you know. And if we do that, I believe that's when a lot of creation is going to start being set free, because if you listen to a lot of Christian talking, you'll hear them, they'll talk about someday when Jesus comes, and then they'll say Christ in you, and then they go back and forth with a whole bunch of things that even if you're a Christian, it's confusing if you listen to them. But if you're not a Christian and you have no criteria where to understand this stuff, then it's really confusing, you know. A lot of times that's what happens. But God opens doors continuously, and he always is standing at the door wanting us to open to him, you know. And, you know, that scripture in Psalms where it says, lift up your heads, you gates, lift up your heads, you everlasting doors. And who will come in? The King of Glory. And when he's saying lift up your heads, he's saying lift up your thought processes. Open up to me. Don't go in with a lot of preconceived ideals and preconceived notions. But just open yourself up and allow me to begin to teach you and to open things up to you. And if you do that, then that door is open, that effectual door, and he steps through it. And he teaches you what you need to know when you need to know it. And you know, it's like that old saying, when you're in the military or something, they'll tell you it's on a need to know basis or something. In other words, they're gonna tell you what you need to know. They're not gonna tell you everything.
Right.
And a lot of times if they told you the whole thing, you wouldn't understand it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the way it is with God. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, you know.
What is that song?
I'm not sure right offhand. I'll have to look it up.
Well, the word trumpet means trumpet, but it goes beyond that. It's the root is the tossing or swell of the sea. Hmm. But what I like is it means vibration. Okay, now, buddy, you're a musician. So, with music or anything, there is a vibration.
Is that Donald?
And you know, even the tuning fork. You ever had a tuning fork? Okay, you hit it,
yeah,
and it vibrates to a certain pitch that you're trying to tune your instrument to. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so what causes that sound? Vibration. And that's where I guess they came up with vibration for trumpet. But there's a spiritual vibration, okay? There's a fleshly vibration. We want to raise our spiritual vibration, call it energy, call it whatever. Call it whatever you want to call it, but it's that vibration of sound that we hear the Lord's voice. We get on that certain frequency. Let's say, you know, I used last week on the radio. We're on 88.3 FM on Wednesday at 12 noon. So if you want to listen to us on the radio, you have to go get you. You know, the old weren't digital. They were. You actually dialed it in. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Of course, you don't remember that, do you, Adam?
Yeah.
But you would have to get over there and you'd have to. I can remember my first transistor radio. I mean, it was only about this big and all. It was only AM. It wasn't even FM on it. And 1360 was the rock station in Cincinnati. So I mean, their dial was so little that, man, you had to just tune that in just perfectly to get that station. And that, you know, that's basically what I'm saying here, is to raise our spiritual vibration, in other words, to tune in to the Lord, and then we can hear His voice clearly. Right. You know, we've eliminated the static. There's always static on the radio and in our heads.
Yeah.
In life. Life creates static. And so if we can just eliminate the static and tune into God, then we're going to hear His voice. And we know His voice. You can go through that radio dial and you hit the right frequency, the right vibration, and you're going to know. You can hear that voice and you go, oh, that's God. You know it's God. You know, you don't think it's anything but God. Because He said, my sheep know me and they know my voice. They can hear. They're tuned in to my voice. They're tuned in to me. And so anyway, the highest vibration in the spiritual realm is love. That's the highest vibration, and that's where we need to tune into. God is love, and that vibration is a vibration of love. And when we're tuned into that, guess what? We love more. The more we tune into that vibration of love, it's going to come back out in love, you know. And so if it's grace, it's going to come back out in grace, you know. It's going to come in and go out in what basically you've tuned into with that frequency, with that vibration. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Psalm 24:7. And on that there.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, I listened to everything you said. And, of course, when you read what this in your Bible or that thing you read out of, it didn't write in my Bible.
It what?
No. I want to know, very simple question, who is He talking to? When it says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, was I alive on earth, or was I already up in heaven, and I seen a door, because it said it was in heaven. So, what was He saying? What's it saying? Am I dead and in heaven, or am I alive on earth?
Okay, let's go back to the action. Let's put you away for a second and talk about what it's saying. It says, immediately I was in the spirit. Do you know who I was? Do you know who He's saying I was in the spirit? Do you know who that is? Verse 2.
At once I came under the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, okay. Do you know who I is in this context?
Me.
It's John.
John.
John the Revelator.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, John's saying.
Oh, John is.
Yeah.
This is John talking.
Yes.
And telling. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm okay now.
Okay. Yeah, John was saying, I was in the spirit, and he beheld a throne that was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. We're on verse 2 now. With verse 1, John was saying, after I looked and beheld, a door was open in heaven.
Yeah.
And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Well, that's Jesus.
Yeah.
He heard Jesus. He. Remember, we just talked about getting that frequency tuned in.
But
he
didn't know.
He was tuned in to Jesus, and he heard Jesus like it was a trumpet.
Yeah.
But it was Jesus. It was not a trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, a trumpet is basically, you're a trumpet. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody's that's proclaiming Jesus is a trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, the trumpet signifies a battle cry. Like before they go out into battle, they'll go da 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 da. You know, it's a voice that comes forth. If it's taps, you know, you've heard tap da 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 da. It's done on a bugle or a trumpet. It's a distinct message that you understand when you hear it what it's saying, and John understood it.
Yeah.
I think that answers your question, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think of John, even though John wrote this.
Yeah, John the Revelator.
I didn't know if
who,
I should.
That's
if
when
he
says
talking
I,
to
that's
me,
who he's talking about himself.
When he said, come on up here. And so I didn't know if I was here on earth or, you know.
Yeah.
Well, God's always talking to you about come up higher. You know, as far as in your thoughts, in the way that you look at things, come up higher in the spiritual realm, you know. So, yeah, John had that particular encounter with God, but we also have those encounters with God on a daily basis to where he's telling you to elevate your thinking. You know, you have the mind of Christ, like it says in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, you know, to have the mind of Christ, you have to begin to elevate out of that natural mind, because that natural mind a lot of times will deceive you, because it's only dealing in a temporary realm.
I forgot about John.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll keep you on track.
Yeah. Because I was having trouble with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just keep asking questions. That's what
good.
We're here
That's
for.
That's good, yeah. That's
and immediately I was in the spirit. Well, you know what? That sentence right there trips up more theologians than any other scripture in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, because right then and there, if you're in the spirit, the flesh goes away. The earthly things go away. If you're in the spirit, you're in the spirit. You're in a heavenly realm. You're not in the earthly realm. So if you're going to try to explain away the book of Revelation when John clearly said he was in the spirit, he said, he didn't say I was in the earthly realm when I wrote the, no, he said, I was in the spirit. I was in a heavenly place. So guess what? If he's in a heavenly place, then you have to look at what he said from that heavenly place, not from the earthly place. And so many books have been written, and so many things have been said about the book of Revelation that is an earthly depiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're going to get yourself in trouble when you say, well, this is earthly and this is heavenly.
Yeah, and even in the beginning when he said he signified these things, signify is signified. He signified them. He put them in signs and types and shadows. Mm-hmm. They were spiritual things, and you have to understand the signs, the types, and the shadows to really understand what he's saying. And the only way you can do that is by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can understand it. I'm like you. There's been so many books written. They'll try to bring this down on a natural level and try to explain that it's this great beast guy that's coming up, or that great beast guy. And in my time of being a Christian for 50-something years, I know at least a dozen, if not more, of people who they said was the Antichrist.
And you know what? Not one person got a refund on the book that they purchased.
They didn't.
It was full of lies and full of garbage and full of whatever. They never ever came out. Never heard one of them come out and say, you know, I'm really sorry. Man, I have heard Lynn Hiles.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I have heard Lynn Hiles. He said, anybody have those green tapes that I did back 40 years ago or 30 years ago? And someone must have raised their hand. He says, throw them in the garbage. They're worthless. They're full of garbage. It's horrible. Throw them away. Now get these, because this is
truth.
This is spirit. That was flesh, okay? And what's interesting is I put down Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. And if so, be that the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Right.
Okay? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, some people want to take that and say, well, you got the goats and the sheep, and you got the wheat and the tares. You got the tares are people that God's going to do away with. The goats are people God's going to do away with. Here, if you don't have the Spirit, God doesn't dwell in you, so he's going to do away with you. No, we have wheat and tares in us. We have goats and sheep in us. We have flesh and spirit in us. We have that mixture that's the whole progress, process, whatever word you want to use, that he is processing it out of you. You're progressing to that perfection, which means there's no more flesh.
Amen.
He's bringing us to that singleness of eye, where we see things as they really are.
A oneness.
Yeah, and once we come to that point, then your whole body will be full of light. It says when you get that singleness of eye, and that's a spiritual singleness. That's not a natural singleness. Mm-hmm. I mean. When you begin to view things in the spirit and see them in the spirit, then you really begin to understand them, what they really mean. That's like, those guys that write all those books, they'll try to explain all this stuff. Well, then that scripture that said to him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God? Does that mean that the temple that they say they're going to build over there in Jerusalem, God's going to make you a marble pillar over there, and you're going to be a pillar, and he's going to write some names on you? No.
Then they'll say, well, Lot's wife was a pillar of salt.
Yeah. it's crazy, the way they try to even understand it and explain it. It's so stupid sometimes.
Well,
come on, guys.
Yeah, the bottom line is, the Spirit of God resides in everyone. I'm sorry, they don't have life. If there's no Spirit in you, you are going to fall down dead.
That's right.
Okay? God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You can't have faith. You can't please God without faith. Isn't that what the Bible says in Hebrews? Yeah. Okay, well, if you can't, where's the faith come from? Him. Where's the Spirit come from? It's his Spirit. So guess what? He's dealt, every person has the Spirit of God in them. And I know a lot of people would say, you're wrong, and that's okay. They can be wrong. Because it's clear everybody has the Spirit of God, or they wouldn't be alive. Even when Jesus says he breathed the Spirit into the Holy Spirit into them, they already had it. He just woke it up, and brought it to a point where, wow, look what they did after he did that. Look at the miracles that were, that they did.
Greater enhancement.
Yeah, so.
Even in Genesis, where it says that he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, that was God's Spirit coming in there and creating the actual life that you've got.
That's it. That's it. That's life.
That's your life. That's where, and be honest with you, he's breathed into everything that's alive.
Everything.
The breath of life, or it wouldn't be alive,
He's talking to the Galatians in 3:3, the Galatians, and saying, are you foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Of course not. No. In Galatians 5:16, then I say, walk in the Spirit. You ever heard that before? Of course. Walk in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, what we're talking about. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're in the Spirit, 1 John something, I forget which chapter, says you basically don't sin. When you're in the Spirit, you're not in a place where you're in the flesh. Only the flesh can sin, right? So when you're in that, that's where people get all confused. Well, 1 John says, well, if you don't admit you have sin, then you're not of him. Or if you say you have, that if you're in the Spirit, you don't have sin. Well, it's that dichotomy of flesh and spirit. And that's what he's talking about. And when you look at it from that perspective, you can understand why he's saying what he's saying.
Well, and when you realize, too, that what he said later on in Revelations about that being a pillar in the temple of God, he said, go no more out, and I will ride upon
right.
you. We go in and out,
and out.
Of
spirit,
that,
flesh,
relate,
spirit,
of that,
flesh, spirit,
yeah,
flesh.
Of that knowledge, see?
Yeah.
And you know, we'll have share some beautiful truth that God gave us or something, and then we go outside and something happens and we get a little fleshly, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? You know what I mean? So we're kind of dip souque, we're double souled
yeah.
in that sense, that double the soul's
minded.
Not totally in union with the spirit at this point, and you know when it becomes one, then the only thing it can bring forth is just the Son of God completely. I mean, you know.
Yeah, flesh and spirit. That you know, you've heard the battle belongs to the Lord. You've heard that a million times. Well, what's the battle?
That's
he
it.
Gets rid of our flesh.
Yeah,
and when he gets rid of our flesh, guess what? It's all him.
Yeah,
the only thing left is him.
The flesh always wars with the spirit and vice versa.
Exactly.
Right, that's right.
And that's the battleground. Where's the battleground? Up here.
Right.
Because, you know, we start thinking this or start thinking that. Or, you know, where does all evil come from? Mm-hmm. Up here.
Right.
I mean, every bit of evil that's out. Well, the heart and the... But, of course, we're not... When we say heart, we're not talking about that
no.
beating thing in our chest that's full of flesh. We're talking about the inner thoughts, you know, if you can say that, maybe.
The imagination.
The imaginations, yeah.
That's what it really is, yeah.
Last scripture, and then I'm excited about next week because we're going to talk about some things that has some, I found some things that, Lord shared some things with me that's really kind of exciting with that verse 3. So stay tuned for verse 3. I think it's going to be fun next week. But the last one is Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Just what we're talking about. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So walking in the spirit means a lot of things. Main thing is he is first and foremost in our mind, and we are consulting him, we're talking with him, call it prayer, call it whatever you want. We're thanking him, you know. What's it say, the part of, what was it, Thessalonians? I forget what chapter, but it says... be thankful in all things, acknowledge him in all, let's see, what is it? That's the will of God.
And everything give thanks.
And everything give thanks.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. We ask you to, bless our service, Lord, and Lord, just we just usher us into the fullness of your praise and your honor and your glory and your worship, Lord. And Father, we just give everything to you, Lord. You have all things, you know all things, and you reveal all things to us. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.